The brigand spirit has died, though the body, which is its sword, survives. It is in the hand of that eager warrior.
Ah. Pay attention to how he explained it. Said, listen, there is this thief, okay? This thief doesn't have a soul. His soul is dead. But you don't see that. You see the sharp weapon in his hand. Because physically he is alive, but spiritually he is a dead fellow. That's what we are talking about. Means you could be alive and successful, but to us, you're dead. Because the animal life is not the life we are talking about here. The human life is what we are talking about. Yes?
The sword is that sword. The man is not that man. But this appearance is a cause of bewilderment to you. When the soul is transformed, this sword, namely the body, remains in the hand of the action of the Beneficent.
Means what? That ego in you could transform. And when it transforms, what will happen? First of all, remember that in this verse and in the one before it and before, he always said the sword of the body. Means the physical existence to me is that sword. Physical existence is the instrument of doing something, the power, right? We say, The point is, when the ego transforms, even this sword, this body will transform, because then this body is in the hand of the major. Means what? This body is an instrument in your hand to do what you need, right? If you give up, then this goes back to the Creator, and He created this sword for your soul. When your soul becomes alive, your body should be prepared to be useful. So the body is not bad. It's wrong because it's in the hand of your brain, your logic. You think this is me. Yes?
The one is a man whose food is entirely love. The other is a man hollow as dust.
Hollow as dust is difficult for all of you to understand because you haven't seen. Have you seen dust? Not in the cities. But Rumi knows a lot about the dust. Why? Because you're not looking at the grass mountain and the ocean. You're looking at the desert. That's where he lives. And in this desert, the first thing you notice is a little bit dust, which is moving. You will realize that somebody is coming or going that way. And you pay attention of how the dust is working. The dust is turning around fast. So somebody is driving a horse. If the dust is slowly moving, somebody is driving a camel. Anyhow, you should understand a lot from that dust, because that's the only vague image that you have. Maybe forever, because that fellow will go away. Here and everywhere, Rumi brings it in that, okay, there is this dust, and there is that other fellow which is looking for pain. is looking for some, giving up some energy, some movement to help other people to have the pain of working and giving away. This is the difference. Difference between this fellow and the opposite of this fellow. This fellow is the good one, we explained it, and always there is the opposite one. The opposite one is when your ego is still alive. Yes?
How an informer described a girl and exhibited the picture of her on paper, and how the Caliph of Egypt fell in love with it and sent an emir with a mighty army to the gates of Mosul and made great slaughter and devastation for the purpose.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah, this is a good story. Yeah.
He knows this story. It's the beginning of a long story. And a very good story. A lovely one. Yes. It starts with one fellow falling in love with the image of that Khanis, and you will see what will happen. First, this fellow will send one majesty, a colonel, I don't know, a general with an army, go and bring me that fellow. Okay. The general will go, will grab the lady, that's the story over there, how and when he's bringing it back. This is a good one. Why shouldn't it be mine? So he will sleep with the lady. Then they try to hide it. They bring it. Then what will happen? The magic will happen. Suddenly, at the night that this king finally is going to have sex with that fellow, a mouse will jump in the tent. And the king will go crazy. Help, help, help. They come and kill the mouse. The slave will laugh. What are you laughing at? When that fellow was making love with me, a lion came, he went out, killed the lion, came back, and he didn't lose the erection. Who is he and who are you? Don't worry, the end of the story is good, because he will realize that, yes, you're good for him, but it's not for me. Because he wants to teach you this, that isn't it that whatever is good you wish you have it? Isn't it? Even when they say this lottery ticket is over $1 billion, you wish to have one ticket. Why? This is something, because this is the ego. An animal is like that. Tries to have everything. We are different. That culture will teach me that there are stuffs that is not good for me. It needs a different fellow. Now in this age, I say, it needs a young fellow, not a old one. It needs this, that. To do what? To control this demanding and wanting everything in my brain. I don't need one. Whenever I was thinking about lotto, I was saying always one thing, that nobody pays attention. If you win a lotto, the first thing that happens in your life is that a couple of people wish you will die, because they inherit that enormous amount of money. Yeah, period. If that lotto, I was the winner of this lotto, I know the people that they wish that. We hope he will die tonight, tomorrow we have that money. But you don't think about that, do you? Nobody thinks about the changes that it will happen if that case. Because nothing is isolated. Whatever happens, do you remember the first word that I said Rumi started with? Consequence. He said, hey, pay attention to the chain of the consequences, because there is something that you do today, the outcome will come back to haunt you for years. Yes?
An informer said to the Caliph of Egypt, the king of Mosul is wedded to a Huri. He holds in his arms a girl like whom there is no beauty in the world. She does not admit a description, for her loveliness is beyond limits. Here is her portrait on paper. When the emperor saw the portrait on the paper, he became distraught and the cup dropped from his hand. Immediately, he dispatched to Mosul a captain with a very mighty army, saying, if he will not give up that moon to thee, raise his court and palace to the ground. But if he give her up, leave him alone and bring the moon, that on the earth I may embrace the moon. The captain set out towards Mosul with his retinue and with thousands of heroes and drums and banners.
Okay. Did you listen? Let me repeat myself again. First, when you read something, you're listening to that. Then you have to come back secondly to say. First, you have one question. What is he saying? Then come back and think, how did he say it? Then go back, the third one, to see, what was he thinking to talk like this? So here, pay attention how he explains it. There is a king. Somebody will come and will ignite his jealousy. That fellow has a beautiful girl and this is the photo of that. He becomes jealous. He should say, oh, good for him, what a lucky fellow. No. Hey, you, come and go over there. If he doesn't give it to you, kill everyone, ruin everything. And if he gives to you, bring it to me. Let them alone. Do you see the attitude? It's only jealousy. He doesn't care about. Somebody could tell the fellow that, you stupid one, that fellow has 45 of these slaves. Now what? Should I kill all the 44 just to bring you the 45th? None of this comes because me, I want it. If you give it, so what? I don't say even thank you. And if you don't, I ruin you. You see the attitude. This is it. Yes.
Like innumerable locusts round the crops, he resolved to destroy the inhabitants of the city. On every side, he brought into hostile action a mandanal like Markaf. Wounds by arrows and by stones from the mandanal, swords amidst the dust, like lightning from a lightning cloud. During the week, he wrought such carnage in hot fight, stone towers became unsteady as soft wax. The king of Mosul saw the terrible combat. Then he sent an envoy from within to him to say, what do you wish by shedding the blood of true believers? They are being killed in this grievous war.